Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings, the home of the 2019 Bucks Uncensored Draft Party at the South Tampa location, April 25th and 26th. They're also the home of my favorite wings, the traditional lemon pepper wings. No matter what style you like, boneless or traditional, or any of their outstanding sauces and dry rubs, Buffalo Wild Wings is the place to go for any sporting event, including Lightning hockey, as we launch into the second half of the season for the NHL, and you know it's going to be rocking all offseason for the NFL leading up to the NFL draft. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. If you are in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, stop what you're doing and get your ass over to Mastro Subaru. A huge selection of pre-owned vehicles, and of course, they're all new Subarus, fresh off the truck and ready for you to come and test drive. Listen, there is no dealership out there that is giving you a discount for being a fan. And that's what you get. You go to Mastro Subaru, tell them you're a member of the Bucks Mob, and you get money off your car. I've never heard of something like this. Mastro Subaru with two locations, one in Orlando, the other right here in Tampa off of Hillsborough Avenue near the Veterans Expressway. Mastro Subaru, and check them out online, their entire inventory at MastroSubaru.com.
I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, if you don't leave me alone, you're gonna have to send me home, 'cause I'm about to whip somebody's ass.
I'm not about building, I'm about reloading.
Bucks Uncensored! Bucks Uncensored!
As far as goals go, we have one. Putting a fucking ring on her finger.
He said, "Coach, how's it feel to be the coolest coach in the NFL?" I said, "Just being me."
On today's Bucks Uncensored podcast, I gotta ask one question. Why the fuck y'all surprised? Man, oh man. James staying in the news because he gets clicks. So why the hell not? If these are things that were said during Super Bowl week, why are we saving them? Unless we have entered the barren desert of the offseason. See, these 2 weeks leading up to the combine, like, NFL writers are like, what the fuck? There ain't nothing. Nothing. So what happens is they stash stuff from the Super Bowl that they think could lead to a lot of clicks, because every time y'all click on a story, cha-ching, baby, cha-ching. All right. I mean, same thing goes for a podcast, right? Turn on a podcast. Yeah, all right. Great. Look at them numbers. When I say thousands upon thousands of people listen to this podcast, it's true, and I love it. But here's the other thing. I'm not going to say anything just to try and get you to listen. I'm just giving you the truth. At least from my background, from what I've learned, and then my opinion on the Bucks, which the only driving force of my opinion for the Bucks is that I want them to win. Not that I want to be. There was a time in my life when I was in the media that I wanted to be right. I did. Now, I don't care. I don't have anything to prove to anybody. Okay? This is a hobby of mine. And I enjoy it thoroughly. And I love the friendships that I've made with all of you. But I digress. And we will get to Jameis Winston and all the bullshit that went down at the end of last week in a moment. But first, I didn't even know if I'd be recording this podcast today. Hell, there was a time on Saturday where I did not know what, pun intended, I guess, what my future was going to look like. Sounds hyperbolic. I am very hyperbolic. I tend to exaggerate. But for those of you that follow me on social media, whether it be on Twitter or Instagram at @commishonline or on Facebook, I did not post this on the Bucks Mob Facebook page because I did not know. Well, I posted it everywhere else, but whatever. So Friday night, Holly had a big event for her radio station. We went out, Franklin Manor. They call it the blown-off ball. It was fantastic. I mean, huge crowd, packed inside and out. So great job to them putting on a hell of an event. Had some drinks. Went home. I think we left at like 11:30 or 12. Wasn't too late. I went right to sleep right when we got back. Holly said she stayed up, took her makeup off and whatnot. We have a mirror that, you know, is one of those you can open it up, stash away, medicine cabinet, whatever. So she, I don't know, maybe she left the mirror open a little bit. No big deal, came to bed. So I got up between 3:30 in the morning because, silly me, I went right to bed. I did not pee. So I had to get up and pee. 3:30 in the morning. Stumble. I don't even think I put coherent words together. It's just a bunch of grunting. As I walk to the bathroom. Slowly but surely, I make it there. Turn the light on, fluorescent light, boom, right in my face. Okay, no big deal. Start peeing. Everything's fine at this point. Pee's coming out, nice stream. I'm thinking, God, can this just end? I want to go back to bed. Well, there's a little more to this story. See, Holly bought this house just before her and I started dating. And the previous owner did not have a bathroom attached to the master bedroom. So they decided to build one. And when they built it, I don't know what the room used to be. I don't even know if it used to be a room. But when they built it, you go in, there's about 1.5 to 2 feet. Then there's a step with another just about 1 foot to the toilet. And then that's on the same level where the shower is. It's kind of an odd shape. So I'm standing on the stair. Listen, I've lived in this house for about a year, a little over a year, almost a year and 3 months, maybe 15 months or so. So I know, okay? Got it. So anyway, so I am on the stair, finishing up, get my peeing done, flush that said toilet, turn around and accidentally miss the step some, or stepped halfway on the step. Remember, I'm half asleep, had been drinking earlier. I'm sure that played an effect. Missed the step, no big deal, stumble a little bit, hit the mirror, and then knock the, for some reason, there's a towel bar on the top of the back of the door, and on the bottom, not sure what you're hanging on the bottom, I don't know if it's a mat or whatnot. Knock that off, hit the mirror, and that was it. And I just kind of stumbled back to bed. And then I was in bed. Well, Holly heard a bang in the bathroom. And then I'm laying next to her. And she said she heard me kind of crying, but more grunting. Like, and she's like, what's wrong? I was like, I hit my head. So she turns the light on, and apparently it was a murder scene on my face. Blood was everywhere. I mean, everywhere. So she went and got a bunch of paper towels and I think that was, oh, and ice, but I think we did the paper towels first. So she's freaking out, but she was not freaking out. She was very strong, asking me questions in a calm manner. I'm just like, my eye hurt. Once she had completely wiped all the blood away, she had noticed that I had a nice slice right down the top of my eyebrow, down my eyelid. The bottom of my eyelid was either missing a big chunk or had been split in two, and then there was a nice cut under my eye. She took a picture of this, which I posted the next morning. She took the picture with the flash on. When she took the flash, the bottom of my eyelid that was either missing a chunk, it looked like it was missing a chunk, or it might have just been split and like opened up like a triangle. The chunk that was missing, you could see with my eye closed, my white eyeball. And the only thing I kept saying to her that night was I could see something hanging, and she was freaking out. I couldn't see anything hanging. It was like a drop of blood that was in my eye, and it was causing half of my vision to be blurred. So anyway, long story short, the next morning we actually went to a place called Invigorate, and it's like an IV place. And so we got fluids put into us, vitamins, and just because they kind of work with the hangover relief as well. And I had taken my B4 the night before, but we wanted to try this place out because it's owned by a friend of a friend. So we went. It was fantastic, by the way. Got a ton of energy. I'm sitting there with my eye. It hurt. The guy there works at a hospital as well. So he owns his business, but also works at a hospital. That's where he has all the experience with the IVs and whatnot. And so he's like, you might want to go to the hospital. At the very least, let him check it out, but you don't want to mess with the eye. Meanwhile, I was just like, I'm fine. I don't even care if it's a scar. Like, it's only going to be a scar when I have my eyes closed. And if my eyes are closed, I'm probably sleeping and don't give a fuck. So it's all good. It started to hurt more and more. It didn't really hurt that much in the morning, but it started to hurt a little more and a little more. And the more I looked at it, and then especially the bottom where I wasn't covering my full eyeball anymore, I was like, let's go to the emergency room. Now, I was getting my daughter on Saturday. We were doing a big Valentine's Day dinner at 4:30. We were all going to go to get dressed up and go to Melting Pot. But it's 11 o'clock. If we can get in there, check it out. If they need to do something, they do it. We can get out of here 2 to 3 hours, I think. I think we can get this done. So we went to St. Anthony's in St. Pete. First off, let me say, phenomenal hospital. I don't have a laundry list of examples of being in a hospital, but I have been to multiple hospitals in this area. No hospital is better than the treatment we received at St. Anthony's. And I don't know if it was just because they weren't busy or because they just got it down, but I literally walked into the emergency room, signed into the tablet, immediately knew who I was because it's BayCare. So I had been to different BayCares before. I've been to get a CAT scan before and other things. So I've been to other BayCare locations. Well, they're all connected. So it knew who I was immediately. The lady goes, oh, here's your wristband. Printing it off, put the wristband on my right wristband immediately without even hesitating towards the waiting area. The lady was calling me back to triage. Went back, got my blood pressure done, got everything else done in there. So we were all good. And then they take me to another area, into another waiting room. And they're like, oh, you wait for Dr. Wolf. Dr. Wolf will be in just a minute. Like literally a minute later, she walks in, looks at my eye, looks everywhere else, asks me what I did. I feel like they always ask you what you did to see if you're in a lie or lying about something, because every single person multiple times kept asking me what. So I don't know if they were trying to check if I had a concussion or if they wanted to see if some illegal activity was being done. I'm like, listen, I was peeing. I slipped a little bit. I didn't even fall all the way to the ground. I hit my face and now I'm here. I said, though, good news, I didn't pee on myself. So I'm taking that as a win. So anyway, I'm making them laugh, making the nurses laugh around. We're having a good time. And I mean, like, the doctor came in, and then as soon as she was done, she goes, I want to get a CAT scan done just to make sure you don't have any broken bones. And then we want to get you a tetanus shot. I was like, okay. So she left. Like 3 seconds later, guy comes in, CAT scan time, takes me back, CAT scan, for less than 10 minutes, boom, done, brings me back. As soon as I'm walking back in, the guy leaves. As he's leaving, the girl is walking in right behind him. Here's your tetanus shot, boom. And I was like, I didn't even feel it. I thought tetanus shot was like horrible, like the rabies shot, you know, like the Seinfeld episode. Is this going to hurt? Oh, yes, very much. Boom. No, I didn't even feel it. And she's like, ah, I'm done. Okay, now it hurts today, the next day, but nonetheless, she was done. Then the doctor came back and said, we have to have an optometrist come in. This is really serious when you're talking about the eyelid and you're missing a piece of your eyelid and the eyeball and blah, 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 blah. So I was like, no problem. She said, now we got to call him in. I'm not sure when he'll be in. I go, well, do you think it's like an hour? Do you think it's 4 hours? I go, the only reason I ask is because I get my daughter and it's very special when I get her and we're going to a big dinner tonight. And she said it'd probably be 2 hours max. Well, at that point, it was 1 o'clock. So I told Holly, I go, man, she ended up going and getting my daughter from my ex-wife, you know, current girlfriend, ex-wife, exchanging of children. Needless to say, credit to my ex-wife, credit to Ollie, credit to everyone. I mean, we're creating a modern family. It's not just that we all get along. We're just all doing it for the children. And we do. We all get along. It's fine. So that was great. She went and got her daughter and got my daughter, Hadley, brought them back here to the house and then came and sat with me. By the time she got back to the hospital, it was right at 3 o'clock and the optometrist had just gotten there. And so he's looking at my eye and he said, well, the purpose of the eyelid is to protect the eyeball. So it did that. There's cartilage in your eyelid and shit that I didn't even know. So then he's like, all right, we'll just suture this up. And, you know, it'll be about 2 weeks. It'll look black and blue. But after 2 weeks, you won't even have a scar. It's going to be great. I'm like, dang, all right. I mean, the previous doctor didn't know because I'm missing a chunk. He didn't think I was missing a chunk. He thought it just split. So then he told me, listen, the worst part's going to be numbing you. Once you're numb, it'll be a piece of cake. I'm like, okay, all right, let's get this show on the road then. And thus we did. First couple of shots of numbness, it's the same numb stuff they put in when you get your teeth done. What is it? Whatever they call it. So they put that numb stuff. Here comes the needle. First two shots. Directly into the eyelid. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you something. You do not want to ever get a shot of Novocaine or whatever numb stuff they were shooting in to my eyelid. It was awful. It was so awful that I think he was already pushing numb stuff out, like liquid out, before he entered my eye so that he was getting as much into my eyelid before I jerked away as possible. Because that's what happened every time. Like, I was literally gritting my teeth because I knew I had to let him get as much of that into my eye as possible. He had put eye drops in to numb my actual eyeball. Then he was putting the fucking shots into my eyelid. Twice.
And both times I had to jerk away because it was excruciating. Then he started putting it around all around my eyeball. So now it's fully numb, right? We are good to go. Let's sew this bad boy up. And thus he did. Got out that hook of a needle. Got the thread. It is disposable. We are good. All we got to do is sew it. First one is going to be the most important one. The bottom of the eyelid. The pictures are still out there. You can see it. Looks like I'm missing a chunk. Just imagine it was split and needed to be brought together. He did it. First one, I didn't even feel it. Went in, felt a little awkward, a little pull here, a little pull there. Knotted up, and there we go. We are back together. We are back in business. Second one he did, boom, 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 at the bottom. Done. Feeling so good at this point. Because I figured the bottom was going to be way tougher than the top because the top was split a little bit, but the bottom was split completely. I'm really lucky that it didn't just split my entire eyelid in half. Oh, God, that would have been... Whew, definitely could have. So then two stitches on the bottom. Let's do three more at the top. First one of those three. Felt a little bit. I was like, oh, fuck. Whew, that did not feel good. And I'm starting to squeeze. Holly's holding my hand, by the way. Because I didn't get any pain medication. None. The numbness or the numbing agent was supposed to do the trick. So I'm squeezing her hand. I have no idea how many stitches we're putting in. So I'm thinking and hoping this is the last one. And he goes in and I feel it. And I am squeezing her hand and gritting my teeth because I don't want him to stop. And he can't stop at this point. He's got to go all the way through, pull that thing shut, and hopefully that's it. And he goes in. He goes through. I'm gritting my teeth. I'm squeezing her hand. And we're done. We are done. We are done. We have closed up shop on the old eyelid. Or so I hoped. One more to go. And by the time his hook entered my eyelid, that was among some of the most pain I've been in my life. I remember when I got my knee scoped afterwards, I tried to walk on it earlier than I should have. That was pretty bad. Getting my tonsils out was pretty bad. I don't really have a ton of injuries in my life, but this was awful. And I felt that hook, those stitches, every millimeter go through one end, through the other, tying it up, pulling it tight. It felt like it lasted for 10 fucking years. Okay, it felt like I was waiting for another Buccaneer playoff appearance. That's how long it felt. Okay, that's a long time. But at that point, we were done. And now I'm going to have a beautiful black and blue eye with stitches right down the middle of it for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Oh, and a key part of this story I haven't told you. As a regional sales manager, I get to travel across the southeast of our United States of America and meet with different brokers and meet with different people, negotiate sales, negotiate opportunities, talk about partnerships, and I got a big one coming up this Wednesday in Arkansas. As I fly into Little Rock, have dinner that night with a top principal or whatever, top guy in Arkansas for one of our major firms. And the next morning, we're going to do a video conference with all of his people that work for him, that sell for him, in Arkansas and Oklahoma. And I'm going to have stitches right down the middle of my eye, and it's all going to be black and blue. So here's my message. I don't know. Or here's my question. I don't know whether to tell them the truth that I fell after I was peeing in the middle of the night, or if I start with a joke that I hope they take as a joke, that the last people I met with said they weren't going to do business with me. And you should see the other guy. So that was pretty much my weekend. Ended up still going to dinner. We made it to dinner Saturday night. We had a beautiful day on Sunday, but my eye is blurry because I've got constant liquid I'm putting in my eye now, and it hurts. It just hurts, like, all the time. Not excruciating, but just there's just pain around my entire eye socket and pain on my eyelid. But I know there's a lot of turns to this story. The best part of all this is they checked my vision while I was there. And my vision is 20/13. It's better than 20/20. So if any person out there ever says that I don't know what the fuck I'm looking at anymore, I got two numbers for you. 20/13, bitch. I didn't lose any eyesight in the unfortunate event. So now that I've talked extensively about that, shall we talk about Jameis Winston? We shall. Jameis Winston. He had some comments at the Super Bowl. Of course, we didn't want to release these at the Super Bowl. No. We had to wait till Valentine's Day. That way, CBS, I think 24/7 also threw it up there, whoever else. Just became a story, blah, blah, blah. So, Jameis did an entire interview. Jamie Eisenberg, Pete Prisco, some other guy. I don't even know his name. What was the other guy's name? Leager Duzibal? Duzibal? I don't know. Former 10-year defensive end. Sorry, I don't know that. But he was at, they were asking Jameis some questions, and Jameis finally, I think, said out loud, maybe he didn't word it exactly the way he wanted it to, but said out loud what I have been fucking telling you all on this podcast for 3 months. And it shouldn't even be a surprise. Anyone can look at Jameis Winston's statistics from last year and say that something happened. Something clicked for him. Because in his first four starts, in his first four games, coming back, and I wouldn't even say starts because he only played half of that Bears game. So in 3.5 games, he had 6 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. 3.5 games, 6 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. You, me, and everyone else knows that's shit. That can't happen. So was it Jameis not being ready to play? Was it Jameis being Jameis and he just doesn't protect the ball? Well, something happened while he had sat out the next 2 games and then got inserted against the New York Giants. And I've told you for months that he was not getting the coaching he needed. There was not a focus on Jameis Winston. The coaches had quit on him. They wanted him to be something he wasn't. And anyone that has ever been in any management knows that you cannot manage the same 2 people the same way. You have to adjust your style. Bobby Bowden said that best. Every player is motivated in a different way. The best coaches find ways to get the most out of each individual player by adjusting their own style. I mean, it's clear to me no adjustment was made by the previous coaching staff. And instead of tailoring their offense to Jameis Winston's strengths, they were trying to force a square peg into a round hole. That's why they're not here. Good coaches don't do that. bad coaches do that. And that's why they're elsewhere. Okay? Good coaches find the strengths of their players and play to those strengths. Why would you want to exploit somebody's weakness? That is fucking stupid. And that's why they're not here anymore. So I've been saying that for a while. So when Jameis Winston says, quote, I had to look at myself in the mirror and say, hey, Jameis, what do you have to do? And that was simply get back to playing Jameis Winston football. Be yourself. Have that swag. Don't try to be something that a coach is trying to get you to be. You know, you got to go and be you. And what that meant was you don't have to force the ball down the field 15, 20 times a game. Take what's there for you. Be the Jameis Winston of your rookie year. Play action. Yes, running the football. Yes, taking the check down is okay. Don't listen to the people that say, oh, well, Jameis Winston was good those final whatever, however many games, but, you know, he was just playing it safe, whatever. Playing it safe? 13 touchdowns to 4 interceptions over the last 6.5 games. So if we're going to look at the first 3.5 games that he played in this year, and say, we need to look at the last 6.5 games and say, because, yeah, while the media wants to make Jameis out to be this evil person who turned his back on his coaches, fuck that. Because if that's in fact what he did the right fucking thing. Wouldn't you say? Fucking Baker Mayfield is glorified. All right, put on a fucking pedestal, and he's about as tall as I am once we put him on that pedestal, but you put him on the pedestal for fucking completely embarrassing Hugh Jackson. I mean, he was open about it. He wanted nothing to do with Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson goes to the Bengals. He's taunting him. He's running. But we're gonna fucking glorify him. I had no problem with what Baker Mayfield was doing. But that was way more egregious than what Jameis Winston did. And guess what? It worked out for Baker. And the reason that people aren't chastising Baker Mayfield is two reasons. He's white and I think it's part of it. And Jameis Winston continues to have that hate thrown on him. Baker Mayfield, he can't do anything wrong. And the other thing is, Baker Mayfield was great statistically after Hugh Jackson was gone. Same can be said for Jameis Winston. Now, his coaches weren't gone, but when he took it upon himself to coach himself, and do what he thought was best for the team and for the offense to win, and he put up these statistics? Absolutely. Absolutely. 13 touchdowns, 4 interceptions by coaching himself. Now, stop looking at the past and start thinking about what a new coaching staff is going to do for this guy when they put him in best position to succeed based on his strengths. And he doesn't have to coach himself anymore. I had people tell me they refuse to get excited about this upcoming season. Why? Aren't you fucking sports fans? I mean, why go to a game? Why watch a game if you're not going to be emotionally invested? That's fucking boring. So what, if the Bucs score, you're just going to be like, well, I don't want to get too excited. And then what, when they give up a touchdown, you're going to be like, see? How is that fun for anyone? Yeah, I'm going to get emotionally invested. Every fucking time. I am pumped about the combine. I'm excited about free agency. I can't wait to see who they get in the draft. I'm going to be jacked up to play fantasy football this year and jacked up to get out there for a training camp takeover. And we're going to do a kickoff party and we're going to cheer this motherfucking team on to victory this year because that is what a mob mentality is all about. I'm not going to pussy ass myself into a corner because I don't want to get upset if they lose. Fuck that. Don't fall into this, I don't want to believe in this team until they give me something to believe in. Fuck. I'm not saying you got to spend a shit ton of money. I'm not here to tell you you need to buy tickets. That's not, it's your entertainment dollar. I am buying tickets. I'm buying more tickets this year. We have four tickets, which we were in 109. We're trying to back up a little bit and get a little higher. Sorry, Mike, in 109. And personally, I'm buying two tickets in 218. That's happening. I'm calling my rep on Monday. I want to be there. Christian's up there. I know the guy's in 119, but I want to buy more tickets. I can and am willing to. It's my entertainment dollar. You don't have to. But being emotionally invested into a team doesn't cost money. If you want to spend money, that's up to you. But what? Turning a game on the TV and just be, or just going up to wherever you watch the game, being emotionally invested, that costs zero. Now, if you're too scared that you might get too upset if they lose, well, that's something that maybe you can take some advice from Jameis and look in the mirror about. Not me. I'm pumped, and I expect greatness. I expect it. I expect the team to go out there and compete. I expect the team to go out there, be competitive. I expect the team to go out there and win. They're not going to win every game, okay? But as we've seen around here, 9-7 will get you a fucking parade, Bruce Arians. But we have a funny feeling around these parts that if you go to 9-7, you're not going to turn around and sabotage yourself by going out and signing a bunch of fucking pieces of shit that are going to come in and torpedo the entire thing you're trying to build. That's all I'm saying. And I feel like if you go 9-7, you're going to try and go 10-6, 11-5, and build it up because you've been part of that before. That wasn't what Dirk Cutter wanted to do. Now, Jameis Winston clarified himself on Twitter saying, I have the utmost respect and very grateful for all my coaches. Looking in the mirror means focusing myself on how I can control what I can control. A football team is a family, no matter the circumstances. But here's what Jameis is saying. You know, they're pushing the ball down the field. Ryan Fitzpatrick's pushing the ball down the field. Well, Ryan Fitzpatrick, people want to only focus on those first two games. He faded and threw more and more interceptions as the season went on, which is typical for Ryan Fitzpatrick. And they wanted Jameis Winston to do the same thing. If it's not working for either quarterback, you might want to adjust yourself. Jameis Winston said, that's not my game. I'm going to play my game. I'm going to run the plays, but I'm going to pick and choose who I throw it to. I'm not going to take the shot every single time if it's not there. I'm going to take what is there. And if there's a wide open running back 5 yards down the field and they can turn it up the field and get another 8-10 yards and get a first down, why wouldn't you take that every single time? So while most are going to try and chastise Jameis Winston, I'm going to do the same thing for Jameis Winston that has been done for Baker Mayfield. And I'm going to say kudos to you, Jameis. Kudos for you seeing that it was not working the way it was supposed to be working, at least from a coach's perspective, taking it upon yourself to correct your mistakes, cut back on the interceptions, and produce the very best football you can over those final 6.5 games. Jameis Winston did that without coaching, and now he's got probably the best coach he could have to get the most out of him. If he did that by himself, again, I'll repeat it, I can't wait to see what he's able to do with Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich overseeing him. All right, so we just got a couple of Bucks takes. They're coming up next. This is Bucks Uncensored.
Bucks Uncensored.
Mommy shark. shark, daddy shark, daddy shark.
That's my part.
Daddy shark, daddy shark, daddy shark.
I know we got a lot of dads out there. As soon as I heard this song, there were two ways I could have taken it. I could have been annoyed, pissed off, yelled and screamed every time it came on. Turn that off. I'm tired of hearing it. Or you embrace it. I did. I embraced it. I became a hero to my two girls. And I took it one step further. I'm sitting here right now, recording this podcast in my daddy shark shirt. Holly's got her mommy shark shirt. And Maya and Hadley both have their baby shark shirts. That's right. That will be coming to a Christmas card near you this holiday season. You got to embrace it as a father. You know, I have so much fun with my kids. They inspire me. They motivate me. It's just the best. I mean, people tell you what it's like to have kids, and before you have them, you're like, I don't know. But this is what I was meant to do. I was put on this planet to, I guess, be a father to my kids. Yeah, work is work. Going out is fun. But I have such a passion for being a father. It's incredible. And so just wanted to share that with you. And I hope there's some other dads that feel the same way. It's a blast. It's fun having them and doing stuff with them. And then going to the Bucks game and, you know, win or lose. You know, maybe I haven't been as angry after losses as I used to be, because you start to have a perspective again. It's like, yeah, you look over, there's my daughter, look over to my right, there's Holly's daughter, and it's like, all right, well, let's go play, let's have fun. So love fatherhood, you know what I'm saying? All right, got some Bucks takes want to get to, and then we'll wrap it up, come back for another one on Wednesday, and then the combine's coming up next week, so hopefully I can hook up with Luke. So, Luke, if you're hearing this, I'm going to probably text you, get together, chat about the combine a little bit, and then play that on one of the podcasts next week leading up to the combine. But first, some Bucks takes. If you haven't sent in a Bucks take before, very simple. You bust out your phone. See, there's a little voice memo button. Not sure if they have those on the Android or something on the Android. You record your voice on your phone, just like a voicemail. 90 seconds. Try to keep it to 90 seconds. Hey, Justin, and go right into your Bucks take. Once you're done, you end it, you email it to BucksUncensored@gmail.com. BucksUncensored@gmail.com. And you'll be able to join us right here on Bucks Uncensored. Much like our buddy Chris. Hey, Chris.
Justin, @ChrisWilliam93 on Twitter, Section 218 in the house. Just listened to your Wednesday podcast as you were driving back or from work. There's a lot of driving going on, and you know what? I loved it. Kid, you're bringing the fire per usual. You're getting me kind of a little more fired up than I need to be, frankly, this early in the off season. But hey, we got a new coach, and we're going to see what happens. Two things that I wanted to give you feedback in my opinion. First of all, I do agree. No matter what happens, unless it's something off the field or a major injury, Jameis Winston will be the starting quarterback in 2019. I'm okay with that, by the way. I think that fifth-year option is earned. Got to win games, though. And at the end of the 2019 season, I do not agree that he will be the quarterback going forward unless he is a winner on the field. And being a graduate of said Florida State University, I hope that happens. Anyways, man, hope you have a great weekend. Hope you enjoyed your Valentine's Day. Sounds like a winning combination. loving the show. And one of these days, I got to go try some of this beer from the sponsors, Tampa High Life. So hope all is well, man. Take care. Thanks.
Hey, Chris. All right. Good to hear from you. And yes, try out some of that Cigar City High Life. Eric in San Diego just posted another picture on Sunday. High Life has made it out to San Diego. We are seeing High Life in the Northeast, the Pacific Northwest, the Midwest, and now in the Southwest. It's all over the country. So no matter where you are, make sure you look for it. Cigar City High Life, my favorite, but the entire Cigar City selection of beers is fantastic. Josh has our other Bucks take. We'll do that. We'll hear from him. We'll wrap it up and get ready for Wednesday's podcast. And a big week ahead. This is a big week. It's really our last week, and then we got the combine, and then we got free agency, and then the draft. And okay, so let's just all take it a bit easy and hear what Josh has to say. Hey, Josh.
Justin, it's Josh out here in Northern California. What's up, brother? Just had to call in and speak with you and the Bucks mob members real quick and touch on a few things. I just got done listening to the Monday podcast, hearing the other members throw out some different opinions on Jameis and the roster. And you know what? Love or hate Jameis, he is the quarterback of this team for now and until otherwise. So for all these people who want to keep doubting and hating personally on Jameis, it's time to move on. It's time to figure out why he can succeed rather than putting all the blame at this man's feet. All right, he is a gym rat. He shows up every day. He busts his butt. B.A. will definitely with his staff, get Jameis to be back to his rah-rah, you know, crazy self, but also to limit the turnovers and to better our team. With that being said, DeSean Jackson, bye-bye. $11 million? You quit on routes? You don't even go up for jump balls when the games are on the line? Get out of town, buddy. You're done for. Gerald McCoy, love the guy's character, but you know what? All the talk about Gerald McCoy and has to retire a Buck is silly. In today's NFL, players are getting cut, traded, let go every single day, even if they've been on a team for 7-8 seasons. On top of that, teams are really good at bringing players back to retire on their squad, which could easily be done with Gerald McCoy. Right now, though, he is a non-factor on our roster, and for that, he's got to go. Right there, you got what, 24 mil? Shit. You know what we could do with that? We could get 3-4 young, hungry, hard-working players in here to replace that production easily. We know Brent Grimes is gone and all the drama that comes with him. With that being said, there's more opportunity. Bring in a veteran corner, like you've said 100 times, and let's get this thing going. We can get the D-line, the O-line. We can get everybody else going. We have a squad. We got a talented roster, man. Let's put it together. And all of us fans together, let's get behind the players we do have, like, love, or hate them, and let's push forward to win. Like you said, we're all here to win. If we're winning games, if we're successful as a team, as a franchise, as a culture, then nobody can complain. So you know what? Let's go out there and let's get some wins, let's put in some hard work, and let's go back to cheering our team on to beat the shit out of all these other teams. Go Bucks.
I appreciate you, Josh. Good stuff. Good stuff. Sharing who he thinks should be cut. I mean, you add in Vinnie Curry, who was just cut. That's $8 million. You could look at guys like Golston, DeMar Dotson, Bo Allen, Mitch Unrein. I mean, there's Evan Smith. I mean, this. I'm not saying you get rid of all of them, but those are all guys that could be let go. I'm not saying let go of all of them because that would be a lot of roster spots to fill, but it's also a lot of cap money out there that can be had with a couple of strategic releases, maybe a couple of trades, and you are in some big money come free agency period in the middle of March. All right. Good stuff from Josh. Good stuff from Chris, and appreciate all the other people that sent in Bucks takes, just short on time, and my eye is hurting. So With that said, send in your Bucks takes. I'll try and play more. I should feel a little bit better for Wednesday's podcast again. Record your voice, your phone. You send it in to me, Justin Pulowski. It's BucksUncensored@gmail.com. BucksUncensored@gmail.com. We'll get hot and heavy into the combine next week. Obviously, as stories start to continue to pop up, you never know if the Bucks may be releasing players this week. I think the Bucks and Jason Light are going to be very active in talking to teams about potential trades, maybe acquiring players or sending players away at the combine. So I anticipate it being a pretty busy few weeks coming up. Thanks to our sponsors. Thanks to Buffalo Wild Wings, title sponsor of Bucks Uncensored. They will be the host of our draft party this week or this year, host of our kickoff party this year. We're going to do a few away game watch parties. Great partner of Bucks Uncensored and the Bucks Mob. Thanks to Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings, Beer, Sports. Also, a longtime partner of ours, Mastro Subaru. We love them, and they're sticking around for another year in 2019. They are the dealership giving you, the Bucks Mob member, a discount just for being a Bucks fan. Go by there, check out a new or pre-owned vehicle, tell them you're a Bucks Mob member, and you get a discount off that vehicle. And thanks to each and every one of you, the Bucks Mob, out there. We started this as the Stick Carriers on this very podcast back in 2016. Really? Ton of success. We've come together. We're building a fan base. We're building a fan base that can be excited. And once this team does start to win, we are going to see the Bucks Mob completely take over Raymond James Stadium. You are on the ground floor of something very, very exciting. The foundation is built. And I mean, I'm seeing 10, 15, 20 people joining the Facebook page, like almost on a daily basis. So you are spreading the word. You're getting it out there. That's what this is all about. These type of movements aren't going to come from billboards or radio ads, although not sports radio, but maybe other radio ads, and TV and stuff. It's just not going to happen. You know, this is going to be kind of a grassroots effort. And you all have made it that way, and I'm going to continue to push it that way. I just think that special things are ahead for all of us. We stick together. We grow in numbers. And as we grow in numbers, as I've told you, the bigger the number, if we're all together as one, nobody can take us down. Nobody can take us down as a fan base. And once this team starts winning, we'll be an invincible force again. And I'm very excited for that day. So for those of you that have been with us from the beginning, and to those that have been with us, maybe not from the beginning, but joined along the way, thank you. Let's keep building this thing together. If you're new to this podcast, maybe this is your first time hearing it, first time hearing about the Bucks Mob. The Bucks Mob is not a private group, not a group at all. It's a movement. A movement that started with the Stick Carriers and that has transitioned to a more appropriate title as the Bucks Mob. And if you are new, we've got one thing to say to you. Welcome to the fucking family. Nailed it.
Go Bucks.